Hello, and welcome to IEP Essentials Pro Tips Podcast, brought to you by Learning Essentials. Learning Essentials offers special education-based tutoring in your home by state-certified educators with advanced degrees in all areas of special education. IEP Essentials Pro Tips Podcast brings professionals together to educate and empower families navigating special education needs in the IEP process.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on IEP Essentials Pro Tips Podcast. I'm Wendy Taylor, and I'm your host today. Very excited to have Heidi Wavell join us. She is the Senior Associate Director of Admissions at High Point University. And as we all know, as parents, applying for college is super stressful. It's confusing anytime. However, let alone during a pandemic with COVID, it's really kind of switched our script on how to approach applying for college. So Heidi is bringing us her 13 years of admissions experience to help us navigate these territory and how to approach college admissions, how to engage with your admissions counselor, how to complete this process and show interest for the colleges that you're looking for and hopefully to be successful in the ones that you want to apply to. Heidi has read thousands and thousands of applications. She's conducted webinars and sessions for students regarding writing the application essay and how to approach the college admissions interview. So Heidi's goal is to help all her families so that they can feel knowledgeable and confident throughout the entire application process. And you, the listener, will certainly hear that today with our interview. So no further wait. Heidi, thank you so much for being part of our podcast.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I love podcasts, love listening to them. I think I've already listened to two or three this morning. So excited to be on one now.
Right. And it's such a great way to get information, I think. I think it's just the way people are consuming information these days and passing along their fun facts or information. And that's certainly why we started the podcast with Learning Essentials, just to really help parents kind of sift through this crazy process. And that's why our conversation today is so important and helping parents understand what it's like or what they need to know, right? You don't know what you don't know. And now during a pandemic, things are heightened. Anxiety is heightened around how do I get my student to college? What do they need to know? And so I'm excited to chat with you because you have this great background, 13 years of being a college admissions person and directing families of what they need to know and just answering all these questions. And hopefully we'll be able to impart some of that knowledge to our listeners as well. I'm also excited because you are a Maryland native.
I am. Yes, absolutely. I love my Marylanders for good reason. I absolutely love getting to connect with my students and getting back up there to Maryland when there's not a pandemic. And I think that adds a little bit of experience as well, because I've had to do the going away to college, looking at colleges out of state. I came down to High Point University, which is where I work. And so having that experience of having a few more factors in mind. It's not just, going off to college. It's also leaving home for the first time and how to navigate that aspect too.
Absolutely, right? To be able to figure out first how to get to college, how to apply, what to do, and then what happens next. There's just a lot of layers there. What piece of advice do you wish that you personally had while you were applying for college? Like what piece of advice now that you're in the field and in this realm, looking back on your experience, would you have thought, wow, I need to share this?
I will say I was a very different person when I was in high school. I was very shy. I was timid. I didn't talk to people. The idea of going on a podcast or talking to hundreds of people, nothing I ever would have done. But I think if I had to go back and talk to a young Heidi, I really would have said, reach out. It's worth it. Admissions counselors on the whole are really nice people. We like talking to our students, to our families. We're a great wealth of knowledge. And so take that step, send an email or make that phone call, reach out to the colleges specifically, because that's honestly where you're going to get the most information possible.
I think that's fantastic. I think young Wendy could have understood and learned from that as well. I think as students, we're nervous to do that. But at the end of the day, forming those relationships regardless if it's in school with your teachers or thinking beyond the walls of school and what are your next steps, and even beyond college, forming those relationships in life in general and with your employers and your coworkers is such an important piece of advice. How would you then, to follow up with that, how would you recommend people reaching out? What are they asking or what are they looking for? Or does it even matter? Is it just reaching out like, hey, I have a question, or asking a question that you probably even know the answer to, but you just want to start a relationship? So they start to know you and then they see your application and they can start to put more of a personality and a face to a piece of paper.
Absolutely. Yeah. Being able to build that relationship. When I go to read an application, if I recognize a student's name because we've emailed back and forth, or I recognize them because we've met in person or virtually, 9 times out of 10, that is going to benefit a student's application. So building up that relationship is just massive. Now, ideally, you want to have that actual personal connection. 2020 has made that very difficult. I will say High Point University, where I work, we actually do have personalized tours going on. So families are able to visit, remain socially distant, remain safe and healthy, but also have the chance to meet with me personally to be able to connect and actually have a personal conversation about what you loved about the university. You can highlight the things that stand out to you, but also comment on the things that you really want me to know about you. And I think that mode of communication and that conversation really can take place in a lot of different ways. If you were a shy person like myself younger, an email is fine. And an email to ask some of the questions that are specific to you and your interests, especially if you're starting out the college process, even questions like, how many students live on campus? What do students do for fun? Can you connect me with different academic departments? Those are all valid questions to ask. But even if you don't have too many questions, an email that just says, I'm really interested in your school. I've done the research online. I actually have already watched your videos on social media. I already follow you on social media. I just wanted to let you know that I'm really interested and would love to have the chance to connect in the future. That is absolutely fine. That is something that gets me excited, because that's a student who really has shown that they've already put in the effort and they're going the extra mile to be able to reach out to me and connect. So questions, big or small, but even just an outreach to say that you're interested in a university can really go a long ways.
So does that then come to kind of a question I was going to pose later on, that demonstrated interest? I hear that term. What does that term mean? And I think some of that you've addressed in terms of watching video and following on social media, but what are you looking for? What are universities looking for? And what would you encourage our juniors and seniors to start doing if they're genuinely interested in a university or college of that nature?
So demonstrated interest can definitely be incorporating a lot of different opportunities. Some of that is if you have the ability to visit the college you're interested in, that is definitely one of the biggest ways to demonstrate interest, because you're taking the time to travel to a location, spending time on their campus, hopefully connecting with the wonderful admissions counselor there as well. But also, again, those emails, those phone calls, one of the biggest things I will say is if I send out an email to students and I never get a reply, that actually is going to be something that I pay attention to. Now, granted, I know all colleges send out a lot of emails. You do not have to reply to every single email that you get. That is not what I'm saying. But I send out a lot of emails just to check in with my students and say, hey, it's now, you know, end of October. You've started the academic year in person on a hybrid version of academics, or maybe you're still virtual. How's it going? How are you holding up? And how is this impacting you academically? And when I can get a reply from a student with that, they're actually demonstrating fantastic interest just by replying to that email for me. Or if I send you a text message or I leave a voicemail, getting an actual reply really goes a long way. Now, of course, being able to go on a college website, do your research, but also make sure you're filling out the actual inquiry forms on there. So that way colleges know that you actually have reached out, that you've expressed that interest, that you've been on their site before. A lot of colleges right now are doing virtual events. That actually is a big bonus. There's a lot of families who maybe can't physically travel to all the colleges you're interested in. 2020 has actually brought about a lot of new ways to connect. So I'm doing a lot of virtual meetings with students. At High Point, we also offer daily admissions overview sessions for students. Every week, we offer different Panther perspectives and different opportunities to connect virtually with students. So all of those, when you register and when you attend those get logged into the college's system, and we can see how engaged you've been with the university. So there's so many different ways to demonstrate the interest, but as a whole, it's proactively taking a step to connect with the university and not just receiving information, reading through the pamphlets in your room, reading the emails on your phone. It's proactively taking the step to reach out back to the college.
I love that you said that. What we do at Learning Essentials, and a sliver of that, is really thinking through and how to coach students and how to, you know, our end goal is to have them actively engaged beyond the K through 12 setting, right? So post-secondary. And I think that's a key element that a lot of kids could benefit from, just that slice of knowledge and even practicing that with their parents. How do you respond to an email? Are you emailing your teachers within your high school? How do you respond on a phone? You know, how do you answer a phone? How do you have a conversation on a phone, which sounds silly to some, but truly it is a skill that some of our kiddos could really benefit from having that practice. So what I'm hearing is that once they've practiced this, then they have this opportunity to engage with you and other admissions counselors. And I think that really would benefit them in terms of just life skills in general, in terms of responding to emails, answering phone calls, even making doctor's appointments, right? Like just having that skill, that global skill beyond applying for college.
And it's funny you mentioned life skills. That's actually a really core component of High Point University. We focus not just on preparing a student academically to get a job after they graduate, to pursue a career, but really to develop these life skills that they're going to need to be able to communicate with their coworkers, with clients, with other people in their community. They're going to need to have time management skills. And so if a student already has had a head start and has been practicing those skill sets, that's going to stand out even more to me at a university like High Point, where so much of what we want to instill in students is abilities to develop life skills that's going to last them an entire life, not just those 4 years in a college setting, but really last for the entire rest of their lives. And I do commonly tell students and parents, you know, the teenage years, maybe you don't want to talk to your parents about everything. I understand. I remember being a teenager. But have those conversations where you are able to brag about yourself and to feel a little bit more confident talking about your accomplishments, talking about your time in high school and academically, how you thrive. Because sometimes your parents actually do know a little bit something about you. Your parents can help fill in some of those gaps, remind you about the things that you've done, and having those conversations with someone who you know, who you trust, who you love, is then going to make it a lot more comfortable when you're talking to me as an admissions counselor about who you are and highlighting who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that kind of goes to during COVID, right? So part of highlighting who you are pre-COVID, from what I understand, and this is more your, obviously your expertise here, is that, you know, it was the activities, it was the leadership, it was the experience, it was, you know, are you in athletics? Like, you know, now when COVID has limited a lot of that availability of active involvement, some colleges, you know, it's still something you're looking for, right? So how can juniors and seniors successfully demonstrate their involvement in extracurricular activities in the time of COVID?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Colleges, we always use that term holistic approach to reviewing an application, of getting to know our students. And that does incorporate activities. What do you do outside of the classroom setting? And a lot of the reason that colleges like to see those activities is because it means you're going to be an active member of our community. It means you're going to join those clubs and organizations. You're going to run for a class office. You're going to really become an active member of the college you're attending, and not just be a student who shows up to class and then disappears. At High Point, most of our students live on campus all 4 years, and so they get really involved. We are a community of a very active and engaged students. And so seeing what a student's done on their application for college, just a really good foreshadowing for college. Now, granted, COVID and 2020 has put a big damper on students' abilities to, especially over the summer, do internships or volunteer as they could have, or play sports or be in clubs. And we understand that. I think every college is going to understand that if your activity list dramatically shifts or you're not able to continue in some of those activities, it's okay. We understand. We're all living through it too. And so don't be afraid if your sport got canceled or if that internship experience got canceled. Instead, make sure you're highlighting what you did do during your time. You know, I've seen some students already, when I've been talking to them, they've said, actually, you know what, I couldn't play a sport, but I learned how to cook. And so I've actually been focusing on that. Or I've had students who say, well, I couldn't go and do an internship, but instead I refocused my efforts and I learned a lot about health and nutrition, and I started working out at home more. All of those activities, all of those interests are still valid. Now, granted, if you're able to participate in clubs that might take place virtually, highlight those. There are still clubs and organizations, ways that you can connect with other people, your classmates, your school, your community virtually. So still include those types of components as well. But the big thing to do is to recognize that it's okay if you don't have all of those activities you used to have, but also feel free on the application to let the colleges know what you were anticipating doing that might have gotten canceled. I've said the word internship a couple times, and I do have several students who were hoping to do an internship or a part-time job, especially over the summer when they had the time. It got canceled, but that's none of their fault, you know? So being able to highlight on the application and say, I was hoping to do this, I had it arranged, unfortunately it didn't happen, but I'm hoping to do it in the future. That actually is great, because that way I know what you should have had, had there not been a pandemic. And it helps me understand what you might still be doing and looking for in the future. So there are still ways to really highlight all of those. The other thing that I will say about activities as well is a lot of schools will say that they look for leadership opportunities. At High Point, we do like to see leadership positions within your activities. And again, that's going to change dramatically with what activities you've been able to be part of. And also just the fact that there's typically only one captain of a team or one president of an organization. But being a leader is not just having one of those official titles. There are so many ways to highlight leadership. So if you've taken the lead on a project, or if you've helped to mentor younger members, all of those are leadership opportunities that you can still highlight on your application.
I think that's important to say in terms of what leadership can look like. I think that COVID is not necessarily a free pass when it comes to highlighting your strengths. And you mentioned taking that holistic approach. What is the difference between receiving a resume that has 1,000 activities, 1,000 different service hours, you know, just kind of more branched out, versus the student that is very narrow in that they haven't done 1,000 different activities, but they've created a depth and a rich to the activity that they did engage with?
Personally, I would prefer to see that student who really has formed a big relationship and a big focus with a certain organization or activity. If a student has 1,000 different activities on their application, they're not going to be able to really become part of that organization. They would have only spent a couple hours here or a couple hours there being part of it. And at that point, yes, all service is good. All community service is good. Having opportunities to try new things is good. But if you're really just jumping from this to that, you're not showing any actual dedication and focus, consistency and persistence in something, it is going to make me kind of wonder, well, how focused really are you? When you get to college, are you just going to kind of show up to different classes but not really find a focus or a passion? Are you going to jump from thing to thing? Or are you really going to say, hey, I want to become part of this. I want to make an impact. I want to be that change maker. And so those are the things that really can stand out more. Now, granted, again, if you do want to try a bunch of things, there's nothing wrong with that. But really find a couple of those focuses that you really have a passion for. And that's when you're going to be able to take on leadership roles. You can never mentor someone or take on a leadership role if you're always just trying something new for the very first time.
You talk about involvement, we talk about that application process. How many schools, like just from the basic, how many schools do you recommend a student apply to?
That is going to vary from student to student, what their focuses are, how much they've been able to personally narrow it down. I typically tell students, try and narrow it down as much as possible before the application process, though. For the most part, I would say students should apply to about 5 colleges or so. Now, sometimes, obviously, you're going to feel more comfortable wanting to apply to more, having a little bit more safety and security. But being a common application school, which is what High Point is, you can apply to several different universities pretty easily. But I will say, again, if you're not really focused in that university, if you're not truly interested, ultimately you're making more work for yourself. You're making more work for the colleges as well. So really try and do your research and narrow it down. You should definitely apply to a couple schools, though, no matter what, have a couple different options out there. But normally 5 schools, sometimes up to 10 schools, maybe maximum, should really be enough.
You mentioned common application. Can you explain what that is, what parents should look for, what our students should look for? What does that mean?
So the common application is basically an application that hundreds of colleges use in the United States. And so it makes it actually a pretty easy way for students to apply if a school accepts the common application, because about 80% of the common application, you only have to fill out once. And every college is able to utilize that information. And the bulk of that information, it's going to be things like, where did you go to school? What classes are you taking? The wonderful but sometimes dreaded common application essay. You know, it's going to be able to allow you to list some of your activities. And so really, you're only having to do that once and be able to send it to a lot of different universities. So it speeds up the process a little bit. With the common application, though, every university that uses it has their own specific page and their own specific set of questions. Now, High Point's page, it's a lot of questions about what are you hoping for in college? What are you looking forward to? What are you looking for in a university? And this allows us to get to know our students a little bit better. And again, kind of get that foreshadowing and understanding of who the student is going to be on our college campus. And so it's a really fantastic way. They have an amazing IT and tech support, which is really good because unfortunately for my students, that is my weakness, is I am not a tech savvy person. But the common application makes it a very easy process to apply, to even look up schools, to make sure that you're checking all the boxes, getting all the information into the colleges in time as well.
Where does a parent or a student start to look? Is the common application listed on the individual sites, or is it just one main site that they go to and then start working the process from there?
The Common Application website, I think it's just commonapp.org, is a fantastic place to start to be able to fill out the bulk of the application and add the colleges that you're interested in right there to your application. You basically are creating a profile. The nice thing is, too, it will save as you go, so you don't have to sit down and fill out the entire application at one time. You can work on it for a half hour, save it, log out, come back the next day and work on it for another half hour. So it really helps to kind of space it out, make it a little bit of something you can work on slowly but surely. But the Common Application website is really thorough and you can definitely add colleges right from there. But most universities on their admissions website will showcase what application a school is going to be utilizing. So if a school is utilizing the Common Application, there'll be a link to the Common App right there. On High Point's website, when you go to the admissions and application page, literally in big bold letters, there's a link to start your application at the Common Application website. Some schools use a coalition application, which again is kind of another common application that several universities use, but it's much smaller. Not as many schools use it. And some universities also have their own specific applications. So you do have to go to the college's website to really make sure you know what application they're accepting.
Which leads me to a couple of questions, you know, in terms of when to start the whole process, right? When to start the Common App, when to start looking, but then also regarding best fit, right? So you're going to spend the next 4 years, maybe more, at this college, this university. What personal factors would you advise a student to consider when they're choosing that school that they would like to attend? So I think I just gave you 2 questions there.
No problem. Well, it's a big question. It's a big decision. This is a big transition time, not only for the students, but also their families as well. And so I always tell students, you know, start kind of thinking grander scheme and then kind of start narrowing down. When it comes to when to start, that really is almost up to the student. If a parent is dragging their high school freshman on college tours and the student has no interest in thinking about college, they have no idea what they want to do, it's not going to be a good outcome. The student probably is not going to enjoy themselves. The parents aren't going to enjoy themselves. It's not going to be a good time. Now, there are some freshmen, though, who are already excited about college and are thinking about it. So parents, I always say, take the cue from your students. Start having those conversations as early as freshman year just about college and, you know, what to expect and how this is going to be something if that's the path for the student. This is something that you should start talking about. And then take the cue from the student really as to when they're comfortable starting to go and actually tour universities, when they're comfortable reaching out to the admissions counselor. Predominantly though, it's going to be junior and senior year. That's when the majority of students really start kicking it into that higher gear, start visiting the colleges. And that's because at that point, you're starting to actually understand a little bit more about who you are as a student, what you need in a classroom setting, what majors you might be interested in. And also on even the bigger picture, are you comfortable going from Maryland down to North Carolina for college? If you're looking for a big school or a small school, public versus private. So oftentimes I'll tell students, tour several different universities, go see a big public school, but then also go and see maybe a smaller private school. Be able to have that difference in mind, especially if a student has only experienced one type of high school, if they've only always been at a smaller school or always only been at a bigger school. You don't really necessarily know what might be the best fit for you. But by going to those colleges, by taking the tours, that's where you're really going to get a little bit more of that experience. Tours are done at different ways at different universities as well. At High Point, we really try and make them very personalized. It's predominantly that student and their family going out with one of our student ambassadors on, we actually do our tours on golf carts. You get to ride around on a golf cart, which is kind of cool.
Well, and I also love that you have the sign, like, welcome. And you have the student's name, so they feel very just, it is very personalized. And
absolutely. And it allows the student to really connect with one of our current students, find out what it's like to be a current student at High Point, to be able to go into the actual academic buildings. And while you're on a college campus, picture yourself there. If you have the opportunity, sit down at a desk or at a table in a classroom. You know, go into the residence halls and just see if you can really picture yourself thriving there. It sounds very cliche to say, oh, you'll get this feeling when you're on a college campus, but it's true. You really do kind of understand and just kind of say, okay, I can see myself here. I think this would be a good fit. And so if you're doing that in junior year, and especially narrowing down big versus small, urban versus rural, close to home, away from home, that's going to then help you by the time you're a senior, really be able to narrow down what colleges you really want to apply to, what colleges you maybe want to do a second visit to kind of go more in depth, be able to get even more of that personalized connection to be able to really make sure that you're making the best decision for you. You did ask kind of about application time periods as well. For the most part, applications typically go live that summer between junior and senior year. So that's really when students can start working on the application specifically. And then most deadline dates are in November. For a lot of universities. Some are going to be a little bit before that, some are after that. So always check the college websites. At High Point, our deadline dates tend to be November 1st for our early decision students and November 15th for our early action students.
And it's also nice to know that information as well. And I have some questions on terms of private and public schools and how you weight their grades, but I want to just jump back real quick. I think what is fabulous about the DMV and being in Maryland, DC, Virginia area is that students can really kind of take an opportunity to explore urban and rural, Big Ten, big city schools, even if they're not interested, right? So they can go to Mount St. Mary's, they could, for, you know, a more rural setting, a more small setting, Frostburg, or they could go down to Georgetown and American and kind of a Catholic and get a feel for those types of size. They can go up to Maryland and Towson and just start there, I think. So you're local to see what size, public, private, small, large, where you want to go. And then from there say, okay, now I know I'm looking for this size population or this type of campus. And then you can broaden your scope and then make that decision as a family of, you know, I'm going to go beyond the DMV. I may want to go down to High Point and just see where that net leads you, right? Casting that net out.
Absolutely. And that's the nice thing too, is when you're looking at, especially traveling a little bit further to go to colleges, make the most of it. You can go and you can visit several different colleges. North Carolina, we have a lot of colleges, a lot of fantastic colleges at that. So you can come down to High Point. Hopefully you schedule that visit to come to visit High Point. But you know, Wake Forest is right down the road from us. UNCG is right down the road from us. You have, of course, Chapel Hill, Duke, NC State. You have these other schools.
A wealth of greatness. Yeah,
exactly. So there's a lot of colleges that you can kind of make the trip down for and be able to still see a lot of different types of colleges in those different geographic areas.
So let's take a step to looking at how do you compare grades? You know, I want to take a second and just talk about kind of test prep and looking at grades and what test optional is. But let's just start with how do you compare grades from different schools? So you have kiddos coming from various public settings, private settings. How do you make this a fair comparison of apples to apples when they're all weighted differently within their school systems?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And being from Maryland, I know there's so many different options for schools, so many different types of rigor, so many different types of programs. It can be a little overwhelming, but I think one of the benefits, at least here at High Point, is that we become kind of specialists within our specific region. So at High Point, you know, I only work with students who are going to school in Maryland and DC. We have more than 20 other counselors who work with other geographic parts of the country. And so while we're located here in Central North Carolina, I actually don't know a lot about the different high schools that are even here within our area. But I have been to almost every high school in Maryland and DC. I have done the massive road trip and sitting in traffic, getting from place to place up there. But it means that I really can understand more about what classes are even offered at a different school. If they, you know, are an IB school versus a college prep curriculum, what opportunities a student has for, you know, is there research or internships that are required at a school? What type of support offices a student might be able to receive at different schools? So I'm really able to understand the academic background. And that helps because then when I'm looking at a student who goes to a school that, for example, the high school I went to didn't really have all that many AP classes when I was a student there, I recognize that. I recognize that a student from that type of school isn't going to have a transcript that's completely packed with AP and IB classes if they're not offered. But I can still look at what types of classes a student is taking. I'm looking at the trends in their grades as well. I know a lot of times freshman year was a little bit of a rocky start for students, but then they kind of find their footing and their grades increase. Some students really had a rough transition to virtual school back in the spring. So I'm going to be able to see that on the transcript and be able to understand that. So when I'm looking at a transcript and a GPA, yes, there's that wonderful cumulative GPA. There's weighted and unweighted. But ultimately, what I really want to first focus on is first the unweighted GPA at High Point, but then to do a much deeper dive into what type of classes was the student taking? You know, how hard were they pushing themselves? What might have been those different factors that were influencing the opportunities that the student had? What was external that might have been impacting their academic success? What are the trends in their grades? So it's really hard to say, oh, I just have two students. One has this GPA, one has that GPA. I can compare them easily because at High Point, we take that personalized approach where I'm going to be doing a deep dive into every single student and really recognizing where their strengths are. Because I'm a big believer that every student is different. Every student has different learning styles, habits, strengths, weaknesses. And so it's not really fair to compare two students identically. I really want to get to know that student and what their academic journey has been like.
Absolutely. And that goes back to your relationship building that we were originally talking about in the beginning in terms of reaching out, forming that relationship so that that student has the opportunity to shine, to express to you that the only thing offered at my school were honors courses, although honors at one school and honors at another school may look very different. So then you can really understand that student's individual needs, what they were exposed to, how they rose to that occasion. So it really does go back to that importance of relationship building. And just even, you know, for learning essentials in my teacher side, I always think it's, you know, no kids are ever the same, and how do they learn and how can we individualize that approach? So it's really nice to hear that you guys do that at High Point. Test prep and test optional. Working with college admissions, what avenue of test prep has been most widely successful? You know, is it private tutoring? Is it online programs? But then now it's test optional because of COVID. And so let's hear it. What information do you have? It's a hot topic.
Oh, the testing companies. Oh, yes. So High Point, actually, we went test optional a couple years ago. As a whole, most studies do showcase that a score on the SAT or ACT is not going to be the biggest indicator of a student's success in college. So we decided to go test optional, be able to focus more on a student's academic journey in high school, be able to focus more on who a student is and what they're going to bring to our community and how we can support them. So High Point, luckily, we've been test optional for a couple of years. Most universities are going test optional, at least for this academic year, just because, as you mentioned, COVID has really thrown a wrench in so many different plans. And a lot of students were signed up for the March test, the June test, the August test, the September test, and literally they were all canceled. And we as a college cannot hold that against a student. I do know some students have driven 3+ hours. They have crossed state lines to go and to take an SAT or an ACT in another state.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. And it's a lot of time. It's a lot of added stress. Personally, I don't think you're going to perform your best opportunity possible if that is the case. And with most schools going test optional, I actually would not recommend going and doing that just because it's probably not going to be the best indicator of your success in college. Now, when it comes to test optional versus, you know, there's always kind of this big running thing of, well, if something's optional, I should probably still do it, right?
That's right.
And honestly, that's not always the case, especially for colleges. If a test score is not going to be the best indicator of who you are, I know for me, sitting and taking a test for 4 hours straight, I'm not going to really be able to indicate what my capabilities are. And so many students are like that. And so by taking a test that doesn't actually indicate your strengths, what you're going to bring to a college campus, it's probably not going to actually benefit your application. And if that's the case, go for the test optional option for sure. If your grades are a good indicator of the hard work that you do and the perseverance that you show academically, that's what colleges want to see for sure. Now, different colleges might have different requirements though. Some colleges might require you to do an additional essay or to have a formal interview. Check with the colleges, make sure that you're still following their proper protocols. At High Point, it mostly means I'm going to do a deeper dive into your academic journey. So if there's something I should know about, you know, that influenced you, your grades, the way you learn, still, again, that relationship, reach out to me, make sure we have that conversation for sure. But I think this year, you'll see a lot of students trying to debate, should I try and take the test? Should I not? And really, it is ultimately going to be a personal decision. But if you feel like your grades are a good indicator of who you are and your academic strengths, there's not really a big need to take it this year specifically.
Would that also be that if you look at an individual college or university and you look at their test score average, say their test score average is a certain number and your score falls below that, then perhaps you wouldn't want to submit that, right? But if your score is certain and it's above their average, even though it may not be your best, but it's above that school's acceptance. Am I saying that right? I don't know that I'm articulating that the correct way. I'm just trying to figure out that it's almost like looking at what are they looking for? What are their acceptance rates? And taking that into consideration if you have a test score. But if you don't and it's test optional, given the time, perhaps let's not stress and drive 3 hours to do it.
if you're able to have taken the SAT or ACT, if you do have that score, if you're proud of that score, and especially if it's higher than the college you're applying to, then yeah, absolutely. Go ahead and submit that. It's not going to hurt your application at all. The big thing to always keep in mind, both with GPA and with test scores, is when colleges post that average score, that average GPA, that means we do accept students who are below that average. So if you're still, you know, a little bit below maybe that average test score, it still might be beneficial to submit that test score, especially if maybe your grades are a little bit lower, if that is something that can help demonstrate some of that academic strength and growth that you've had. It all kind of depends on the college, though. I know at High Point in the past, we actually did require test scores for higher scholarship opportunities. Now, this year, we're completely test optional for all scholarship opportunities because we don't want to hinder students' opportunities for financial aid when you just really physically haven't been able to take the test. But in the past, sometimes even if you had that slightly below average SAT or ACT score, I would actually still recommend a student submit it for scholarship opportunities. So that's where it's going to become a little bit more specific to the university. Now, hopefully they list it pretty clearly on their website, or of course you can reach out to the admissions counselor to get those details. But if you're a little bit below the average, still, it's probably not going to hurt your application whatsoever to have those test scores submitted. If you're significantly below their averages, don't submit your test scores.
Let me ask you then, kind of to our conversation about reaching out to the admissions counselor and to forming relationships. If a student has a learning need or difference, if they have a lower test score, how do you recommend them divulging that information? You know, should they ask all the questions prior to applying to the university or college, or should they wait, see if they get in, and then say, hey, how can you help me? I mean, and I think you could probably answer this question multiple ways, and I think different people would probably respond differently, but I'm always curious as to what, you know, we're talking about test scores and to submit them or not submit them, but what about the other factors that involve our students with learning and navigating this whole process?
I think the biggest thing when it comes to students with any type of learning difference and different accommodations is, when did that process start for you? I definitely have worked with students who had an undiagnosed learning difference for the first couple years of high school. And so their grades were really weak. But then when it was diagnosed, when they were able to take those proactive steps, start getting those accommodations, their grades skyrocketed. And so for a student like that, actually making sure the college is aware of, hey, this is why you're going to see that discrepancy in my grades. This is why I struggled at first, but as you can see now, I'm thriving and that's going to continue. So if it's a conversation like that where there's a significant change in grades, that is probably something I would recommend divulging. Now, you don't have to, but again, if I'm looking at that full picture, that's really going to help me do that deeper dive into your transcript and really understand who you are. I'm never going to say a student with any type of accommodation isn't going to be successful in college. No, some of those students are the ones with the most persistence and the most ability to succeed. And so at High Point, if it's something like that, I would recommend reaching out to me and having that conversation. Now, if a student has accommodations, they've had them for several years, it really hasn't been something they've impacted with their grades. It's something that they understand and they know how to navigate, how to be their own advocate. Then it's kind of a personal decision because honestly, at that point, it's not really going to be something that's making a big impact when I'm reading their application, not really going to notice that within their grades. So if it's a situation like that, maybe you want to wait until after you've already been accepted. And then that would be a great time though to have a conversation to then connect with our accommodations office, to be able to talk to our support office and find out what the steps and the opportunities are to be able to continue being successful into college as well.
And I would always encourage our students that have learning needs and differences to be aware of finding and locating that accommodations office. Different campuses name that office different names, but find out what it is. Know that what you were provided in high school, the law changes when you head to college. This is just my little plug. And to understand those rights and to understand how to advocate for yourself and to reach out, because now it needs to come from you, not from mom and dad. And so that's kind of my little plug for supporting our kiddos that need to transition to college and university and be successful and to be able to advocate for themselves, which goes back to all the way in the beginning of our conversation of learning those advocacy skills to be independent.
Completely agree with all of that.
What about the essay? Like, what stands out with an essay? I know everybody wants to highlight something fabulous. Have you had anything that's just squirrely that you're like, wow, this is fantastic because it's so refreshing and different from I'm so great and I've done 1,000 things and I'm amazing and pick me. And I mean that lovingly. Like, I'm just curious in terms of you have probably read thousands of essays in your years there. What is fun? What stands out? Like, what would be your thread of knowledge that you would like to share?
I love when I read an essay and I can get a sense of a student's personality. I've done different essay workshops where I've connected and partnered with different high schools and actually read a student's essay, been able to give feedback. And it's really funny when I read their essay and then I can ask the student a question of, hey, so are you the type of student who is really active in the classroom? And it seems like from your writing style, you love writing, you love reading. Am I getting that right? And it's so crazy because so often I hit the nail on the head, you know, because the student's personality is shining through their essay. I can get a sense of, is this student going to be someone who is lighthearted, or is this student who really thinks really in depth and very critically about things? And all of those are acceptable. All of those, as long as it's true to who that student is perfect. Because ultimately, the essay is really a student's chance to kind of completely take ownership, essentially write about anything that you want. Now, on the Common Application, it does give students several prompts that they get to pick from, but really, the prompts pretty much cover everything. There's always opportunities to highlight whatever it is a student wants to. Now, sometimes I think the biggest kind of fallback for a student is just, oh, I'm going to write about, and I apologize if anyone listening was going to write their essay on this, but they write about, we lost the big championship game, but I just kept going and working hard, or I went on this missions trip and I helped other people and I'm so great. Those kind of are the standard essay questions that admissions counselors kind of glaze over a little bit if they're just reading about this game that was lost, but hey, you're going to still play this coming season. Those aren't bad topics, but it all depends on how a student is actually talking about it. And so my biggest thing with the essay is, again, make sure that you're writing from your own personal voice and that it is coming out, your personality is coming out through the essay. But make sure that you're not just telling me a surface level story. You know, I always kind of reference this one essay I read where it was all about how their grandmother was so amazing and so kind and is just this amazing, wonderful woman. And all I got out of that essay was, well, I want grandma to come to High Point. I don't know anything about the student, but grandma sounds amazing. So there's kind of that disconnect. You told me a story about someone else, or maybe you're telling me a story about a trip you went on, but if you're not actually telling me why that's important to you, you know, what lessons you've learned from grandma and how you've actually been able to take some of those characteristics into your own life, or yeah, maybe you did go on this missions trip, but how did it impact you when you got back from that missions trip? And how have you still taken those lessons that you learned there and applied them to life back home domestically? If you lost the big game, okay, but now how do you take that lesson that you learned from that one failure? How are you applying it and now approaching new opportunities? It's going a little bit deeper and telling me a little bit more about kind of your personal qualities, characteristics, who you are. So the subject matter really doesn't matter as much as are you really expressing who you are and the characteristics that you contain?
Fabulous advice. But Heidi, I need you to spill the tea. What is the most squirrely one that you've received? Good, bad, or indifferent? Whether they got in, they didn't, like just kind of you were like, this is fabulous and unique. And you've had to like talk about it to your coworkers.
There are a couple that come to mind, some that I don't feel like would be appropriate to share on here, because sometimes students divulge a little too much and you're going, I don't think I want to know this much about you. But sometimes...
Which is good advice within itself, right? So just kind of be aware of your audience,
yes.
Be creative in your approach, let yourself shine, but let's not get too off the rails that it then makes somebody feel uncomfortable and it's too much information.
Exactly. I know there have been some application essays where I've read it and it really just is very surface level stuff. Oh, I went to school, I've joined this club, not telling me anything new. And then at the very end, it ends with, and that's why I want to go to insert university that is not High Point University.
Wrong one.
Those are always the ones where the admissions officers will talk to each other and be like, oh, hey, I have a student who wrote their essay about wanting to go to a different university. Awesome.
Well, that goes to focusing on details and the importance of details and, yes, and really showing that, that's where you want to go.
And the other thing with details too, is if I read an essay, and it still happens sometimes where there's no punctuation, there's no capitalization, it's basically one long written sentence. That is a big knock against a student. If you're not paying attention to those details, not looking over some of that information, that's really important to us. If you just stop at the very minimum word limit and don't go further, that's going to showcase, are you really interested? Are you really putting forth the effort here? So there are definitely some bad essays that I've written, that I've read, but then also that there are some that really do just thrive. And those are the students who are really willing to kind of share who they are, share what they've experienced. And there are some essays I read where I get choked up at the end because they're just so touching and emotional. There are some that I am crying because I've been laughing so hard. Both of those options are absolutely fantastic. And if you write about something that I'm really passionate about, then I'm definitely going to be paying attention. But that's not going to work for everyone.
Well, that goes to that relationship building, right? Like just understanding it's a mutual relationship, right? You understand what that person likes and kind of do some homework. You know, I know that you have a bio on High Point's site, and I'm sure most admissions folks do. And so really kind of just taking a moment to understand, to start that relationship building. How can applicants stand out during that virtual visit? So kind of back to the visit part, and if they have to do, I know you guys are doing a fabulous job of doing in-person. A lot of universities and colleges don't necessarily have that option. What can you recommend for a student to stand out?
There's different types of virtual visits, and those are going to be then different ways to stand out among those. So if it's kind of a general overview where maybe an admissions counselor is giving a presentation about the university, make sure you're utilizing the chat feature, or if you have a time to be able to ask questions, make sure you're utilizing that and being a much more active participant. Unfortunately, in the world of Zoom and virtual meetings, sometimes we're not always 100% sure how much attention the person on the other side of the screen is really paying attention, if their camera might be off or we can't see them. And so by utilizing that chat feature, asking questions, that's actually going to really showcase that not only are you signing up and attending an event, but that you didn't just start the presentation and walk away. You know, you're actually paying attention, you're taking an active role. And so whether that's a presentation or especially if it's a Q&A panel, I know High Point's been doing a lot of different panel opportunities to connect with our current students or with different academic departments, different clubs on campus. And so again, attending those, but also asking some questions, that's going to actually make a big positive impact. I've been doing a lot of one-on-one virtual meetings with my students and being able to connect with them that way. For some of those, I would say one of the biggest things is just be attentive. If this is something that we're kind of scheduling in advance, make sure that you are in a good location where you can actually sit and have a conversation with me. I've had a couple of students who literally have been walking around their house while we're talking, and I'm starting to get motion sickness being carried around like that on their phone. And so make sure that you are actually paying attention to the person who is doing the presentation or doing that conversation, virtual meeting. Come prepared with some questions. Know what's important to you. You know, if it's a panel that you're attending that's a student life Q&A, for example, really think about, well, what are the things that are important to me to know about? What dorms are like? Is it what the food is like? Is it a student's favorite place to study on campus or hang out on campus? Make sure you kind of think about, what are the answers I hope to get? And then that way you have the questions to ask if they don't cover those.
And that's great advice, you know, in terms of what are you looking for? And that kind of goes back to the student doing a little bit of reflection, exploration in terms of that. I do like that you had mentioned earlier in terms of, if you are able to go to that campus, visualize yourself there, visualize yourself sitting in a desk, walking through the building, sitting in the dorm room. I think those is really important to kind of sit in that feeling for a second to see, you know, what feeling are you getting? Is it excitement? Is it nerves? Is it, ugh, this isn't for me? You know, all of those are good because it's good information, right? It's good. You know, you learn from that to realize where do you want to really immerse yourself for the next 4+ years. And so to come with some questions, what are some that stick out that people have asked you outside of the common basic school questions? But are there questions that perhaps people listening may not think to ask, but should ask?
I think especially for students in the DMV area who might be looking at schools like High Point and going out of state, some of the questions that might be important to ask are, how do students transition to college? What programs do you have in place to help a student feel comfortable, make connections and friends on campus, get involved on campus? Because it is a big transition time. And when you don't have your family and kind of the friends you've built up over several years there to kind of push you and to go to different events, it can be kind of a big transition time period that becomes a little scary. And so to ask a college how they welcome in a student body, how they really support the student, especially that freshman year during such a big transition time, can really showcase what type of care and support a school is probably going to provide you everywhere along the road. So asking questions about that transition time period is definitely very important. I think asking questions that are very true to the student. So if a student has been part of, say, an environmental club for all of high school, then when you're on the college campus, a good question to ask is very specifically, not just what clubs do you have, but really specifically, what environmental clubs do you have? Or how would I be able to take what activities I've done and be able to continue them in college? So asking the very specific questions that are true to who you are is going to really become part of that process. If you are looking at a college where you're going to be living on that college campus, asking about what students do after classes are over on the weekends, those are going to be important components, obviously, and hopefully academics is the number one reason that you're looking at colleges and you've already been able to learn about that and ask those questions. But some of the questions that maybe might not be in the forefront of your mind are, what am I going to be doing when I'm not in class? You know, what am I going to be doing on a Tuesday night at 7 p.m.? You know, is everyone just sitting in their rooms? Is there kind of activities happening on campus? What's going on? Another opportunity for questions is really just, hey, what happens if I get sick? What happens if I'm homesick even? How do I get that support and care in all these different components? And maybe sometimes if you have those over anxious parents, they might have some of those good questions to ask just about, you know, how a college is going to take care of their baby boy or baby girl. But being able to have that connection of how am I going to be cared for if I'm further away from home in particular are some really good questions to ask.
I think that's a fabulous question. As a mama of three boys, I think that's a fabulous question. How is my baby going to be cared for? But for them to ask it, because how they view being cared for is perhaps different than how mama views that. So I think having that student ask that question and beyond the scope of, you know, what is dorm life? What are the academics look like? You know, kind of you're living there. So are you going to be comfortable there? And then if you're not, what supports are there to help you with that process? Fabulous advice. Oh my goodness. So we have covered a lot of ground, Heidi, and it's just been incredibly helpful. What should I have asked you that I didn't know enough to ask you during this interview?
Oh gosh, we did cover a lot. It's hard to kind of think about what we haven't really addressed. I know this year in particular, I've gotten a lot of questions about the Common Application in particular has added a new optional essay. Again, there's that word optional about COVID-19 and how that might have impacted a student. And I think there's a lot of conflicting responses that students have gotten and school counselors and admissions counselors don't really have a generalized answer for. I know here at High Point, at least, that is an optional essay where, again, if you have something that really was impacted, positive or negative, this is a time I would recommend using it. If the entire essay response to how has COVID impacted me just being, oh, I went to school online, that's a given. You don't need to tell me that. I got that. But if it's that you really struggled with that transition because you weren't able to ask questions and your grades were a little bit hurt, let me know. Or on the flip side, I've had actually a good amount of students who've said, actually, it caused me to really take more ownership of my time management. I was able to really focus a little bit more. And ultimately, those are things that are going to prepare you for college. Let me know about that. That's a great, great thing to know about you. If your health was impacted, something like that, all of those are valid answers to that question. So while it's not required, those are the type of responses that would help me, again, get to know that student a little bit better when reading their application.
What is a little bit of a nugget that would distinguish a top enrollee? Like, what is that cream that rises to the top where you're like, absolutely, this is a fit for us? And again, that could be a different answer depending on the university, right? Or the college.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be a different answer per university at High Point, because we really focus on hands-on learning. We focus on every single class a student takes has experiential components, real-world experiences built into it. We are not a university where you just kind of sit in the back of the class, take some notes, take a test, and call it a day. And so a student who is going to thrive at High Point is going to be that student who, yes, is going to be academically successful and be able to do well on that test or that paper, but is going to be willing to take advantage of opportunities, to raise their hand and ask questions, which I know can be a little bit scary. Again, coming from an ex-shy, you know, teenager myself, but being able to want to take an active role, the student who's academically curious and can demonstrate that in a lot of different ways through the classes they've taken, through the activities that they've participated in, through conversations with me. When I get that type of a feel from a student, those are going to be the students who I know are going to thrive on our campus. There's so many opportunities to try new things, to take advantage of internship opportunities, hands-on experiences, that when I can see a student is going to do that, that's the student who truly stands out for High Point, and that I just go, okay, yeah, we need this student. Let's get him here. What can we do?
Let's bring him on. I have one final question for you.
Sure.
If you could have a billboard with one tip for parents, what would it be and why?
I think it would just say, your kid is capable. And I say that out of the most love and respect, because I think parents both absolutely adore their children. They want what's best for their kids. And they kind of sometimes want to take a little bit more ownership and reach out to the colleges and do a little bit additional stuff. But really saying, look, you have raised an amazing child and they're capable now. They can take this ownership. They have that ability to reach out to me as an admissions counselor, or to take that proactive stance on doing some research on their own. Your kid is capable. You've raised them really well. Trust that they're going to be able to take it from this point forward, because it does always make a much bigger impact when I'm hearing from a student than from a parent. Now, I love my conversations with parents, don't get me wrong, but if a student is someone who's still taking that active approach to reach out to me, that's definitely part of it. I love it when parents are like, look, this is my kid's pursuit. They're taking the lead. I'm just here as a supporting role. That's perfect. So I think the billboard would essentially say, you know, your kids are capable. You've done well so far. So your kids can do this.
Oh my goodness. That is amazing advice. I love that. And this really has been a pleasure to kind of take this deeper dive into college admissions during a pandemic and trying to figure out what is the best approach. And I'm sure this will lead to some more questions. So I'm excited to put in our show notes information on how to contact you as well. And so that hopefully kiddos can reach out as they're growing and learning about where they want to spend the next part of their journey. For sure. So Heidi, thank you so much.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. And I welcome questions, conversations after today. Feel free to reach out anytime, Wendy, yourself, but also any of the listeners. I'm always happy to help in any way possible. This is a big transition, scary time for a lot of families, not just the students, but their families as well. And if I can help alleviate some of that fear, that concern, let me know. I'm more than happy to do so.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us today for our IEP Essentials Pro Tips podcast. To hear more pro tips and find additional IEP Essentials, including our IEP webinar, please visit www.learningessentialsedu.com.